you like to repeat that news, or should I? This is Jordan Knight of New Kids on the Block. Formerly of New Kids on the Block.
Yeah.
Didn't he do that creepy, I want to hold you, Dan, and give it to you whether you want it or not song?
I still have that CD.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, Jordan Knight had a signing at Walmart in the Junior Miss department, and nobody showed up.
Oh. All right. Great.
And there really are pictures of nobody showing up and a morbidly obese woman walking by and not stopping.
Who are you? All right. That's fantastic.
Oh.
That's really entering true Spinal Tap, sort of. Artie Fufkin, sort of. No, kick my ass! Kick this ass for a man! I'm not asking, I'm telling now! All right. Well done, Jordan Knight. Why would he be holding a signing in the Junior Miss department? Isn't that the little girls section? Isn't that what Junior Miss means?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. And that's a Walmart woman if I've ever seen one.
Nobody is there, and he has this horrible, like, tarp tent thing behind him with a couple pictures of himself pasted on the back.
Hello, I used to be famous. Hello, please stop. No, damn.
Oh,
all right, there you go.
I can't look at that.
Don't ever look at that. It's 503-733-2970.
I've done many a remote like that.
Oh, man. Have you done remotes?
Saved $5 on a refrigerator today.
Have you done remotes where not a single person showed up?
Yep.
I've done those two. And at the end, a client, I'm not paying for this. And the AE is there trying to go, no. Now, you know, it's a... Really, it's what we're trying to build is top-of-mind awareness. It's not about foot traffic. It's really just about getting your name out there. And it's because you've been at a blinds and drapery store. Okay, let me just tell you this real quickly, and then we'll do the news. Because we got all these IQ things. We got to finish this news with Tim. We'll do the Rockstar recap, the last one ever, at the bottom of the hour here. I did a full-on, not just a remote. I did, like, the whole show. I mean, it wasn't like there's two kinds of, in radio, there's, like, appearances, and then there's a remote where you just sort of, what they call drop-ins. And drop-ins, you probably, we've done some of those, and we may again, but you hear these a lot, where it's like, whatever, it's like the weekend show, and the weekend show is on doing their thing, and every now and again, they will have a drop-in or a brief segment, either over a microphone, like over an ISDN line, or over the phone, from one of the jocks who is at a location somewhere. And so you'll hear the guy in the air. He'll say, hey, you're listening to, you know, whatever, Rock 105, and it's time to check in again with Bill St. John. He's down there at blah, 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 auto group, blah, blah, blah. Hey, John, how's it going down there? And then they'll cut to, hey, I'm down here, and we're going to be at this auto lot all day long, and there are some amazing sales. Sometimes those things go really well. Sometimes they don't, and sometimes you can just hear in the background the emptiness. You can hear in the background the lack of anyone being there. And I did, so that is when you're doing sort of a remote or, you know, an appearance or whatever. Sometimes you do a full live broadcast from a client's place, from a place of business, from whatever, if you're going to take the whole show to whatever. Like, you know, we don't really do our show live from a location because it's a midday show. But when I did afternoons in Salt Lake, I did the entire three-hour show live from a store that sold bottled water. That's what it was. They sold bottles of water. And not even like the kind you could come in and buy and like, oh, I sure am thirsty. This is great. Like the big Culligan man kind. Like the big, you know, the water cooler bottles. It was at a store that sold water cooler refills for your office or business. And there's me doing my compelling, edgy hot talk radio program from a store surrounded by big water bottles. And, of course, this is back before I learned to just put my foot down about these things. And for some reason, they had sold some sort of, no, Rick, we'll weave it into the content of the show naturally. That's one of those things that they said. They go, now he'll be talking about it a lot. No. And he'll do three interviews an hour with the owner of the establishment. So here I am. And keep in mind, this is not on a Saturday. This is not like on a Sunday from 2 to 5. This is like on a Wednesday in the middle of the week, 4 to 7, afternoon drive, the second most desirable slot on the radio station. There I am, supposedly a personality of some note in this community, doing my show from a store that sells big bottles of water, talking three times an hour to the guy who runs the store. Go, how many times can you go? So if somebody had a truck, let's say, they could just bring it in and... They could put some of these water bottles in the back and just, you know, if they're thirsty. And if they work with people who drink water, I could do it. And just a lot of looking at your watch, no one showed up. Not a single person. That's what we were telling that Tim guy who was in here last week who wanted to be in radio. We're like, he'd prepared to do a lot of remotes from a drapery store. All right, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of Tim's, here is Tim Riley.
Well, here we are again.
Our top story, Portland begins using a $390 million sewer pipe. Yes, the big flush is underway this week. Designed to alleviate decades of frequent pollution caused when it rained and, well, nasty things flowed into the Willamette River. So this pipe cost us $390,000, and it, wow, about 3 million gallons of sewage began flowing through this pipe this morning over to the west side of the river. More volume will be added in the coming weeks. The pipe's capability... Yes.
When everyone has Mexican for dinner.
Yes.
No, it's
away from the river.
It's a different place. Because it's just been a lot of overflowing in recent years. Yes. That's kind of the thing, right? Okay.
So there's $390 million sewer pipe. Well, it's a subject of community pride. Here in Portland, we've accomplished it.
You'll love our new spark and our sewage. Who is this? This is Diana. Okay, we'll get, let's see. Diana, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up,
Hello, sister? I had to call in about the IQ thing.
Well, you're one of those, you probably got an IQ that could boil water. You were like one of those Marilyn Vossavant types, probably.
Well, come on. Okay, yeah, I clock in at 147, but, doesn't feel particularly smart.
Oh, but see, but you know who always says that? It's people with an IQ of 150. It's always like, well, look, just because I've got an IQ of 170 doesn't mean that I put any stock in it. And they're always saying that to somebody like me who's got an IQ of like 9. And they're saying with a smile on the face, I'm like, and would you like a lollipop? You know, that's how that always works.
Actually, I think I have some good proof positive that all of you are above average because none of you have chosen to reproduce.
No, that really, and I'm pretty sure there's a direct correlation there, by the way.
No, they've actually come up with it that the higher your IQ, the less likely you are to reproduce.
There was a story the other day, actually, that said
one just asked to check one's checkbook balance. that's the most telling thing about this whole thing.
There was something the other day, actually, that noted. They said that the fatter you were, and the more politically, and this is not me saying this, this is a study. The fatter you were, and the more politically conservative you were, the more likely you were to be shoving out one child after another.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, thanks.
But you've got to admit, I mean, when we've got this. Bit saying that, you know, women are not as smart as men because they have a lower mass, you know, I when I was in the Army, I was with a bunch of gals who were a lot smaller than I am. You know, I'm 6 foot.
Well, you're like 100 feet tall, so you kind of skew the scale.
Okay, but, you know, there were girls that were a lot smaller than I was, and they were, you know, shoot. One girl had, what, an IQ of 167 or something like that.
Yeah, see, now I'm all... See, now I just can't quit... I just can't quit obsessing about Scotty J, though. Now I just want to stick him in a small room somewhere with electrodes wired to him.
Oh, that could be fun.
Okay, we should end that conversation. All right, thank you, Diana. All right, there you go. All right, that's Diana from downtown. Thank you. Here's Tim Riley.
Here is a triple Darwin watch.
Triple, really?
Yes, I think
I have a feeling it's a bad
stuff. Speaking of IQ,
you're from Florida. Well, thank goodness for Florida, because two of our stories come from there.
For where? Oh, damn it. I thought I was going to beat you that time. Okay.
A man in Claremont, Florida, operating a stolen crane, was crushed when the vehicle flipped as he was trying to elude police.
Oh. Eluding police in a crane. Mm-hmm. How fast can a crane possibly go?
I've never tried to drive one. The driver was making a turn when the huge machine overturned. He was pinned inside, and his legs were crushed.
Okay. It really is indicative of the tone on this show sometimes that it doesn't even require an amusing death. It's simply a death of any kind, and we just cackle like seals. Okay.
Two burglaries. Oh, this also comes from Florida.
Where?
Florida.
Oh, that was weird.
Orange City, Florida. Two burglary suspects whose car stalled while trying to elude police early today were seriously injured when they jumped off a dark bridge, fell 30 feet to the ground, missing the water.
The three men robbed an
Applebee's.
Of course they did.
Well, their car stalled on what was called the St. John's Bridge, not to be confused with ours.
No, but it is appropriate, though, that they died stupidly in a place on the St. John's Bridge.
All three men decided to jump off the bridge to escape. Well, they jumped off the St. John's Bridge, probably thinking they'd fall right into the water. Well, They fell a good 30 feet, didn't hit the water, they hit solid ground.
30 feet wouldn't be enough to kill you.
No, they're not dead.
Oh.
They're seriously injured, including one man who was paralyzed from the neck down.
Well, he won't be. Well, no, that's good, because he won't be reproducing. So I was
going to
say.
Won't be going back to Applebee's.
So there's sort of a Darwin's waiting room right now.
How could all three of them have missed the water?
Well, and what I wonder
First
is
Florida.
This. Yeah, it's true, and I it is what I think about. And see, this is.
So the water would be moved.
I think this is one of those things that I'd know if I was smarter and if I had known more about science in school. Now, because a heavier object will fall faster, correct?
I don't know. I'm not very good at physics.
That's right. Jim, don't listen to this. I don't want your nose to start bleeding. I do believe, example, if you were on top of a bridge, you throw off a feather and a bowling ball, the bowling ball falls faster. Isn't that right?
Yes. I would assume so.
Okay, you actually finished college of all of us here.
Yeah, but I told you I failed Math 101.
But this is
there was
math.
Nothing about bowling balls.
I was
and feathers.
I was told there'd be no math.
Well, no, I never took anything like physics or.
Thank goodness
that,
you didn't.
So.
Okay, well.
We'll bring you nothing but grief
and stains.
Well, why wouldn't a bowling ball fall faster than a feather?
Okay, this is a long lead up to a stupid observation, which is just you got to wonder if like one of these guys is bigger than the other. It's just got to be a disconcerting moment when you all think you're jumping into the water and you're one of the last to land, and you just hear like a dry crunching sound below you. That's got to be a couple seconds of crap, you know, right before that's some whale hitting the ground in the Douglas Adams book stuff right there. Fantastic. Let's see. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's up?
The best part about having a mean IQ of 100, at least 50%, probably much higher, but at least 50% have two-digit IQ.
That's true. You are smarter than, like, literally half the country.
Well, no, if it's the mean, I mean, if you got to balance out all those 200s,
oh, that's true. I never thought about that.
It could be 65% is a two-digit IQ.
I never really thought about that. No, yeah, if you got a 200, there's got to be a 50 to balance it out to give you one something. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah, or 275. Nice.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right, here's a... Was that the first Darwin watch or the second?
That was the second.
Or here's the third one.
Here's the third. A drunk Brit drowned in a hotel pool during a tragic birthday game to find out who could hold their breath the longest.
Oh.
Richard Manfey, celebrating his 24th, was declared the winner by pals before the horrific truth dawned upon them.
No, you've won. No, you can come up now. No, you've set the record.
Richard from East London had been drinking with 20 pals on the Greek island of Kos when they decided to take turns to see how long each could spend underwater.
He's really impressing us all.
The police captain told how witnesses said the group had spent the evening in a nightclub and became very drunk. Some were vomiting, some were laughing hysterically in between vomiting.
It's a great night for everyone. Let's go to a club and vomit.
The coroner had ruled that Richard had drowned. None of the group were British holidaymakers will face charges.
So it was a contest to see who could go the longest without breathing?
Richard's dad, Ray, questioned the cops' findings that this was all a game.
The record is now 5.5 days. Come on. 5.5 days. Because he's dead. Fine. Don't laugh. All right, there you go. There's your Darwin Watch triple version for whatever the hell Thursday in the ring.
Don't. Another one bites the dust.
It's good to laugh.
And another one goes, and another one goes. Another one bites the dust.
Okay. It's like when I was growing up, my friend Heather and her sister used to have a contest to see who could stare at the sun the longest. It's genius. Not especially bright. No. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a man wearing military fatigues and throwing punches into the air tried to open the exit of a jet during a cross-country flight. United Flight 890 from Los Angeles was scheduled to land at Washington's Dulles International Airport, and nobody was injured. The man came out of the bathroom. He was fully dressed in an army suit, full army gear, said a passenger. This fellow who was dressed up became unruly about 3.5 hours into the flight from L.A. and was subdued by other passengers and federal air marshals.
You know, one of these days, the door to the engineering department's going to open, and that's exactly what's going to happen. The door to the engineer, and it's just going to be one of the engineers in, like, full-on camouflage and a gas mask holding...
saluting and holding a high-power rifle.
Exactly, and then announcing that it is time for purification.
It happened so quickly, there was a passenger about 6 feet tall who jumped right on top of them. That's the kind of American we need.
Yeah, exactly.
Ken Wolfenberger of Whittier, California, was on the flight, and he told the AP that he helped subdue the unruly passenger. The man wore patches on his fatigues with Special Forces and Jiu-Jitsu Championship logo.
By the way, is there any more accurate way to immediately assess that a guy has never been in the military than to see that he is wearing patches that say he's in the Special Forces? That's like, you know, you can spot a guy who doesn't own a Harley? He wears a lot of Harley clothing. Every time you see a guy wearing a Harley shirt, it's been in a car. All right. Okay, let's see. What is this? This is Nathan? Hello,
yeah.
Sir. Hi, what's up, brother?
Okay, so you were talking about how fast things fall. And
yes.
Basically, the way it works, everything accelerates at 32 feet per second unless it can catch a lot of air. Like a feather has a lot of wind resistance or air resistance, so
right.
It doesn't fall very fast. But if you were to drop two bowling balls that weighed different weights, they would accelerate at the same speed.
But, okay, I know that we're now officially having a long, wanky...
Sorry, no. I just have a lot of useless information inside my head, and I figured I'd share it with you.
I'm picking up. I'm sorry. That's really... nothing. I'm sorry.
What are you laughing at?
I'm sorry, what was your name, sir?
Nathan.
The booby doctor is in.
If I
don't make fun of him. This guy's smarter than you.
I'm not making fun. I'm making a little fun. If two bowling balls got dropped off a bridge, and I realize we are having a long, boring, and pointless conversation about science now.
Yes, but, I do this with my friends all the time.
But if one bowling ball weighed less than the other, wouldn't by definition, let's say one bowling ball that weighs 10 pounds, one that weighs 5.
Right.
Doesn't everything that is falling off the bridge have some degree of wind resistance?
Yes, but it really doesn't affect a bowling ball enough to really make a big difference.
Okay. So you're saying there might be a difference, but it's so slight as to be negligible.
Yes.
I don't even remember what this conversation was originally about. Oh, it was the three idiots jumping off the bridge.
Right.
So you're saying... This is like a story problem. This is like a Rick Emerson math textbook. If three morons jump off a bridge in St. John's, unless one is morbidly obese and the other one is perforated, they're all going to hit the ground at about the same time.
Yeah, very much so.
All right. Thank you, sir. Will you just say this phrase? Will you say...
The booby doctor is in.
Well, I wasn't going to say... I was going to say, will you say something about having a plasma pistol and looking for an auto reload? You sound a lot like a guy that I played Halo with.
Wow. All right. So I need another ammo pack for my plasma pistol.
The booby doctor is in.
That's what I see. There you go. All right. Nathan, no, all kidding aside. Thank you, sir. What is your IQ, by the way? Do you know?
When I was tested, I was really young, so that makes it very inaccurate, but it's between 140 and 150.
See, there you go. See, that's again, everybody with a high IQ, they feel the need to somehow dismiss it. Well, I was young and... Who knows how accurate these are? 175.
And if you want another piece of useless information, the average IQ is no longer 100.
What is the average IQ now?
I'm not sure what it's up to now, but it has been steadily raising. When IQ was originally invented, 100 was the average. That's the whole point to it, is that 100 was the average.
Right.
People are becoming more intelligent, supposedly. Only intelligent people are taking IQ tests. One of the two.
Yeah, I'm sure, almost certainly the latter, sir.
The last time I checked, the average was right around 107 or 108.
All right. Thank you, Nathan. You call us anytime.
All right, man. Thanks. Have a good one.
Thank you.
The booby doctor is in.
All right, there you go.
Okay.
No,
good.
No. Here's the thing. As I was talking to him, he was talking. He's like, Rick, I'd like to talk to you about IQs and terminal velocity. And as he's doing it, Tim takes a huge piece of paper and writes, "Booby doctor in," and he like holds it up in front of me as I'm trying to have a phone call with the guy. I'm sorry. That was really unprofessional of me. Oh, come on. I so rarely get to play the booby doctor sound effect. I love that guy. I wonder where the booby doctor is. We had to do some sort of, like, searching for Bobby Fischer, but, like, finding the booby doctor. Scotty J.
You know he's, like, 8.
I'm not by now. He's probably 20 by now, but... Oh, man. All right, here's what's coming up. Our final Rockstar Supernova recap. Oh, we got these calls about IQ stuff, people falling off of bridges, things smashing into other things. Later on, we got the Onion weekly radio news address from George W. Bush. You stay there. We'll see how that turns out. All right, so Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Like this email, for example. Rick, it's true that the average IQ is 100. I believe technically mentally retarded is 75 or under. And I believe those with IQs of around 50 discuss whether or not Siamese twins can be connected by the hair. Thank you. Thank you. 503-733-2970.
That is really
that
funny.
Really is our proudest moment. Okay, here's why I don't feel bad about that conversation that we had about whether Siamese twins could be connected at the hair. Because my wife is a nurse who had hundreds of years of schooling and is responsible for giving people medication to keep them alive. And she actually said that she was driving around listening to that, and she actually pondered it for a while before realizing what a stupid goddamn question it was. So there you go. So we've even my wife, who is a medical person, we fooled. All right. Scotty, here's the thing. Here's a little behind the scenes. So there, we've got the phone lines are all full at the moment. They're busy. So we're trying to call.
But we don't know what line Kristen's on.
Well, I don't even know if that one of those is her. It could be. So I'm looking. If you're trying to get in right now, it's just the phones are they're packed. Some of them are not Kristen. Some of them are unlabeled. Scotty J is not able to screen the calls right now because he's on the phone with Jenny Hogan. Oh, wait, he's now off the phone with Jenny Hogan. Hold on, let's find out exactly what happened. Oh, wait, no, that's wrong. Let's find out with the...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Hello, Scotty J. How are you,
sir? Good.
I walked in there to ask you if one of these calls was Kristen, and you. I walked. Here's what I heard. So we were wondering if we could just, you know, maybe talk to you for a few. And this was Jenny Hogan, right?
Yeah, and I told her it was all going to be, you know,
in
positive. And it's fun. And yeah. She sounds like a really funny gal, to be
she
honest with
really
you.
She sounded really nice.
Does her voice sound normal?
Oh, totally.
I mean, it's Australia, but I mean, she sounds like she can clearly enunciate.
She's like, it'd be an honor. I've only been here for 2 weeks, so yeah, it'd be great to come down and talk to you.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So. Well, that's cool. So when is she coming in?
Well, she's going to check with her boss, and that's when I put in the positive, you know, part that it will be positive.
You know what?
Any promotion, but it'll be fine.
Totally. And I have no, we have nothing bad to say about her in any way.
Right.
And they love us because they love Sarah. So, because they're big fans of Sarah. Are they not? I thought they loved you.
I don't know. I didn't. I'm kind of glad she's coming to the studio so I can apologize to her for not calling her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what can you do? But she's going to check and then she's going to come in most likely.
Yes. Fantastic. Probably either tomorrow or early next week.
Excellent. Well done, Scotty J.
Good job. Yeah.
Look at you wrangling a guest. Is one of these people Kristen? Do you know?
I have no clue.
All right,
she wrote me that, yes, one of them is her.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I guess it's 50-50. All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right. And your masterpiece is done? It's finished?
It's finalized.
All right. We'll play it at the end. Are we supposed to finish this segment with that? Okay. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. There's sort of a crapshoot here. Hello. Who is this?
I think it's...
Yeah! Look at that. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that was awesome.
All right, bitches. All right. Kristen from accounting, how are you, sister?
I'm very well.
Thank you for coming to Dante's last night. And it was last night...
Honey, who's the one who's been at Dante's from the beginning?
No. I'm not trying to bust on it. I'm just saying... it's a way of thanking everybody who was there, because last night was the hardest of the hardcore.
It so was. And, I got to work this morning, and I was like, well, maybe I should write up some notes about what was good. And I was like,
really, what is there to say?
Yeah, I'm not going to make any.
What is there to say? It's done. It's over.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad.
It was a nice, small, intimate group. It was very lovely.
Yes. I feel the band's appeal has become more selective, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it really was, and I think we were all there, not a sense of obligation as such, it's the wrong way to put it, but it's just that we are all such anal retentive completists.
You have to have the final result.
And it's like, that show was so boring the last couple of nights without Storm that I think the only thing that made it enjoyable was going and kind of watching it with everybody. So, I mean...
Yeah.
So there you go. Well, let's see here. I got all these sound cuts here, including and Scotty's masterpiece.
We have to say kudos to Sarah for screwing us up with the with her comment about being surprised.
Now, did you know?
Threw me for a spin.
Did you know who won last night? Did you have the spoiler when you were there?
Yeah, I found out from Sarah after the show.
Oh, I see. Okay, because here's the thing is because Sarah found out about Lucas winning yesterday during the show, and I forbade her to tell me or anybody.
I told you I wouldn't tell you.
Well, no, but even before that, I was like, I don't want to know, I don't know. And then you decided that it was better for everyone. You made the correct decision. It was better for all of us if we didn't know. But then all the way through the last night at Dante's, Sarah, who was getting sort of progressively more intoxicated, would lean over and go, it's Delana, she wins. Oh, I'm sorry. And then it's like, lean back. And I couldn't tell if she was screwing with me or not. And so I didn't know. I had no idea who won. And so it was up until the very final moment when CBS themselves inadvertently gave it away.
And I missed that.
It was when they went to the final break before the decision. Yeah, and they were doing the Survivor promo. And the Survivor promo had Lucas singing with Supernova.
Yeah.
So that's it. Well done, CBS.
Well, you know.
So what can you do?
Number three.
So let's see. So I don't know how much we really want to say about this. I got some sound bites here.
Well, you know what we need to say?
Huh.
Delana didn't win.
I know. Well, that's
all we need to know.
It really is like the George Bush thing. As Sarah was pointing this out, it's like the anybody else but for president. You know, that's what it was. It was someone else, you know.
Yeah.
That's all we really wanted was just for her not to win.
And like we were kind of talking last night, Storm was behind Lucas. She really said that he had something, and she was a big fan of his. So if Storm says he's cool, I'm cool with it, too.
Well, that's the thing, yeah, and he really was her pick to win. No, you're absolutely right.
And
about
that look on Delana's face, oh.
Well, did you go online because they have the final interviews with them up online?
No, was she crying?
No, she didn't cry.
Was she mad?
No, she said, what did she say? She said she was disappointed first, and then, yes, sad, because she really thought she could win this.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now, see, and the thing is, I'm really proud, actually, that I had picked Lucas from that very first night when he sang Rebel Yell. I was like, that's the guy to watch out for.
Yeah, I was all over the board.
Now, everything we heard up until this point was that the final two were going to be Lucas and Delana. That's everybody who knew a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy who had lunch next to Mark Burnett. They all said it was going to be those final two. And the weird, did you notice this, too? The weird, abrupt way that they got rid of everybody, though? Magna, you're great. You're wonderful. You're fantastic. Next to go. Sorry. Bye. And, I mean, it was...
I loved that.
The one with Toby was really awkward, though. It looked like he wasn't expecting it. No buildup, no nothing.
Let me see if I've got this when they get rid of, I think this might be, let's see, I'm looking through these here. I think I've got the one where they just, where they kicked Toby off, like, with no warning. Let's see here. This is I think Jason Newsted. And you notice at a certain point last night, like, it wasn't Tommy Lee anymore. It was like Gilby kicking people off. That's got to be depressing. Mm-hmm. You don't even get fired by Tommy Lee. You get fired by Doll Hair. All right, hold on. This is,
Tobe, your vocal ability has never been in question. You know, you have this range more than any other person that has competed here that cuts through. No matter how loud the guitar gets, your voice still cuts through. That's awesome. Each performance, another notch, another notch, another notch. You know what I mean? Everybody's been able to see it, been visible, just like that, absolutely. No question about it. And you are going to be the next one to go home.
Bam!
From this competition.
And, I mean, it was so bizarre. It just, and they did the same thing. I've got this here with the Magni thing, too. It was the same thing where it just came out of nowhere. Let's see here.
We still have a job to do here. And what we've talked about and what we've considered, Magni. Man, it's been a great ride. But one of our questions has always been, you're such a talented musician and you play so well with the band and even with a song like Fire. I don't even know if you're really fronting the band as much as you're part of the band. So with all that being considered, Magni, you're the next to go.
And see, I don't even know what that statement I made is. It doesn't matter now. It's pointless now, but I don't even know what that means about fronting the band, part of the band, the whatever.
Well, I think he means that he doesn't stand out from the... Like, he can play guitar. He was playing guitar with the house band.
Right.
And I think Gilby meant that he couldn't step up and be like the main guy, like the lead singer.
I suppose.
He was more like part of the house band than out on his own.
I got a lot of people talking about how the only person who offered to play with Delana was Gilby, which exactly plays into the whole how his sack is in her purse.
Imagine.
And he's the only one who didn't offer to play with Storm.
Exactly. I didn't realize that. That's totally true, because they all wanted to play with Storm except for Gilby, who just had kept his trap shut there.
And I really want to know now from Storm, that has to be one of your first questions when you talk to her, is what was that all about? Was that, like, did Gilby really not like her as a person or not like her as a performer? Or what was his deal with that?
You know, and the thing is, we've asked her about that a few times, but it was always when she was still on the show, like, in her...
It'll be nice to hear now that there are no ties that bind.
Yeah.
No, but there might be ties that bind. I mean...
Well, that's true.
Unfortunately, she signed... We saw the contract she signed.
So it's
it
like
is very
50 pages long.
So I think there might be... she might not be able to be so honest for a while.
Maybe.
Ask her off the air.
Let's see, Rick. Historically, anybody who wins a car on a Mark Burnett show never takes the big prize. Pleased to be discussing the Gilby comment. I'm going to write and produce your record to Delana. He obviously knows she has no talent, but only sees a chance to cash in quick on her brief 15 minutes of fame. Well, that's totally true.
We should send him that pop song that you played yesterday.
Oh, God, man. How terrible was that? That hideous thing?
Oh,
yeah.
That's terrible.
No, it was so bad.
He left
so
me on
bad.
Hold so I could hear it. I had to hang up halfway through.
Oh, it was awful. Well, and see, this is... This is the final week we're ever going to talk about this show, the final day we're ever going to talk about it. So I'll just wallow in some of this. Let's just be glad, by the way, that we never have to hear this again.
It's not me, it's not my family. In your head, in your head, in your head. In your head, in your head.
Stop. She's not, I can call right now, she won't amount to anything.
She won't
have a single, she won't have a video, she's just going to disappear.
No, she'll be forgotten by the end of the day.
Although we will be forced to listen to her if and when they come,
I know what she will have a slutty pose in Maxim. She's going to be all greased up with all those colored hair extensions. Because you know it's true, you know she's going to be straddling a motorcycle.
She'll be airbrushed. To death.
Wearing a leather bustier with airbrushed boobs.
It burns. Oh, grease. Why did you have to say greased up?
Because, can't you see it? It's like a story unfolding in front of us. I can see it as if it's already happened.
Don't say unfolding.
Greased up and unfolding.
Smell the glove!
At least we're not in the lunch hour.
God damn. And she's so unattractive. And again, I know I'm not saying you have to be attractive to be a woman to be successful, whatever. I'm just saying she's hideous. She's hideous. And there was some women on this season, that, you know, like Patrice is a good example of this. You know, I didn't find her especially attractive, but she didn't have a horrible, off-putting, repellent, ugly vibe the way that...
You totally nailed it when you said Delana looks like she smells.
She does. She looks like she has several, I would guess at least two kinds of bad odor coming off of her.
And you know that might be like an underlying... Patchouli smell as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Patchouli trying to cover up several other things, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Let's see. So what else do we have here? This is, let's just do a little bit of, this is a little bit of Lucas singing last night. I'm just going to play these in kind of no particular.
Yeah!
A really good singer. I do see Jason's thing about how he kind of growls a lot, but he's got a cool charisma to him.
It's better than Delana's yodeling.
Yodeling. Totally. You know, the worst part about Delana's was last night when she does that thing about, and so you guys have gone through all the contestants, but it's me, Delana, you know, and she's making things, hire me, you know, just
blah. Don't get off that. It's like all about her.
She sounds like Ricky Smith's mom in Better Off Dead. It's a lot of, you know, this is excellent liqueur, you know, Christmas.
Christmas.
Love, the language of love. What else do we have?
Well, I thought it was interesting that when they all sang their songs, you know, Lucas did Bittersweet Symphony.
Right.
Why did Delana do, you know, they were doing their favorite songs. Why wouldn't she have done Roxanne again?
I don't know.
Roxanne or even Ring of Fire or anything.
Just
anything but that song I thought was better.
Can we please play the part when Lucas wins and Delana's standing there silently?
Well, let me see. What is this? This is, it says Delana recap.
All right, Delana, it's your turn. Let's watch your final recap.
You lost, you can't look. Oh, this is a hideous, I'm sorry. I'm trying to subject us all to this.
We're all pretty damn good. I won't catch you. I won't be
waiting.
Yeah. Everything that you want in your life, you have to fight for.
Delana, you're sitting pretty, at least for now.
I don't know where it is. Let's see. This is looking for the part where they give it to Lucas here. My eye keeps getting drawn to this thing where it says masterpiece. Let's see. Is this the moment where he wins? All right, I think this is the moment. Let's see.
Delana!
Hi.
Hi, baby.
Oh, no, this is after she's lost.
I wish you the best of luck. No. You have shown yourself to be a fighter, strong and determined, an incredible performer and singer.
Best of luck. Goodbye.
Any final thoughts for the guys?
I want to say that I think this band needs someone that is 1,000% dedicated.
Oh, no, this is
to representing great guys, great music. I want to rock the world with you guys. And Lucas is amazing. Toby is incredible. But I'm the one.
No, you're not.
Oh, so satisfying.
The one going home.
Let's get this thing going. Lucas, your look, your energy, your vocals, the way you move, everything has been really, really amazing for us. Delana? Yeah.
It's all girls cheering.
Lucas, you're a boy. Welcome.
We were all so happy last night. I mean, really, it was...
Because I had this mini fear that, you know, that my spoiler was wrong. I'm like, oh, God, what if she does win?
I got so many text messages instantly, and they were all just like, you know, it was like a lot of ding-dong, the witch is dead kind of, you know, whatever. And I got this one. I've talked about this before, though, that so on my phone, it doesn't always identify people by name. It'll just sometimes have the number. So I don't always know who these text messages come from. But I got a text message from somebody. I still don't know who it's from. And it just said something like, it said... I bet Delana's backstage hanging herself right now.
Yeah, it was great at Dante's, too, because, of course, the crowd has been a little bit, you know, quiet for this week's shows. And as soon as they announced Lucas, it was just like a cheer from the crowd in Dante's.
Well, because it would have been here's the thing. And, again, because this is the last day we're talking about this, we can recap kind of the stuff we've already said a lot during the season, which is that this is sort of a booby prize to win the front this band, and Storm is the best singer, and we all kind of know that. Not to knock Lucas or those guys, but she was the best, and I think in our opinion and the opinion of a lot of people. Somebody told me, by the way, that if you go to the actual rockband.com site, which is not Storm's site, but the actual rockband.com...
Yeah, that's the one where all the spoilers have been all season.
Rockband.com, which, you know, and most of Storm's fans don't hang out there because they hang out on Storm's site, on her message board. At the rockband.com message board, Storm has consistently led the poll there for who you think is the best performer, and the guy who one of the webmaster or guy who was the administrators at Storm site sent me the stats on that, and so she, like, you know, so she was the favorite of a lot of people. What was my point? I had some point here, but anyway, because it was that public shame. Not that we all wanted her to win, because I think we all think in a lot of ways of being chained to Gilby Clark for a year is not really like the best thing for your life.
Yeah.
But it was the public humiliation of being told on network television that Delana's better than you are. Go home. That's the thing I couldn't stomach. And so it would have been the final humiliation had Delana won. It would have just been one. It would have been one poke in the eye too many. You know? And so now that, let's get some calls here, and then we'll play Scotty's quote masterpiece, and then we'll be done talking about this program forever.
Forever. All I have to call in to talk about now, though.
I don't really know. I I mean, it's just, I'm so glad to be, that I never again have to listen to Dave Navarro. Oh, by the way, that was my other observation. Did you note this? Because at the end, they brought Lucas up on stage to sing with Supernova. I can feel myself falling asleep even as I'm talking about this. We gotta get plow through this and be done. I was watching Supernova perform last night at the end with Lucas, and I, as much as I do kind of like that hey, 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 wah, wah, wah song or whatever it is, the whole band just seems sort of lackluster, and I put my finger on it. It's that they've kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit, because after seeing those guys up on stage with Dave Navarro for like 4 months, it seems really odd to not have him around. And so you suddenly realize this. This is what occurred to me. That suddenly, without Dave Navarro up there, I'm looking at Supernova, which is Tommy Lee. Tommy Lee's buried behind the drums. Lucas is a guy that, look, whether you've been following here or not, you don't really know that much about him or his personality. Nobody really knows or cares who he is. That's a band completely and totally without charisma or personality. That's the kind of realization I've come to about Supernova.
Yeah.
Because Jason Newsted, much as I love him, doesn't really have a lot of personality. That you see, anyway.
He plays bass.
Yeah,
a lot of bass players have a lot of, you know.
Yeah, he's just, you know, he's a very sort of, he's
a solid guy.
He's a very reserved kind of guy.
Yeah.
Gilby Clark, enough said. There really is just no charisma to that band. Here's the other thing I was thinking about. We saw that, the episode a couple nights ago, when she was talking, Brooke Burke was like, Jason, how is the tour going? And he's like, it's gaining momentum. We sold out in Albany, and please buy tickets. I was thinking about this last night. Having a show on CBS television has been the single most powerful promotional tool you could possibly ask for. And you know what? That's gone now. And I was thinking to myself, how are they possibly going to sell tickets? You know what I mean?
That's why they wanted to get as many sold before the show ended, I think.
They're not on television every week.
Yeah.
It's not like there's going to be a lot of buzz about Supernova. I can't imagine how they're going to move tickets now.
And especially with the negative publicity with the other Supernova stepping in. People are going to be tired of this whole thing.
I have no idea how they're going to remind anybody that they even exist at this point. So I really do think like a storm kind of got out when the getting was good.
Well, and at least she'll be singing with the house band, so that'll sell a few tickets.
And as I said earlier on, we now have 5 months to gather momentum for the Everybody at the Memorial Coliseum Boo When Delana's on Stage campaign.
And throw tomatoes.
Exactly. Let's get Rob. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up with you, Rob, House of Rick?
That's right, man. Where's my sounder?
I got rid of it. I thought you were dead.
Oh, I was kind of
dead. I saw Rob briefly at the Soapbox Derby. How are you?
Hey, do you like that drink?
Yeah, man, that was really strong.
I don't even... Let's see. Hold on.
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
There you go.
That'll do.
All right, what's up with you, brother?
All right, two things. First thing is you swear. You swear we're never talking about the show again.
Oh, yeah, no. As of today, we're done.
All right, 50 push-ups if you ever bring it up again.
We have to talk about it when Storm's on.
No, that's fair.
So,
all right,
yeah.
Second thing, and except for Storm... That show was the worst piece of trash I've ever seen on television. I mean, seriously,
no,
think about all the time that we've all spent on this thing.
I know.
I mean, and except for Storm, garbage, all of it.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. And, I thought that coming out of the end of this, I would sort of, because, you know, I've been a longtime hater of reality TV, and I thought coming out of the end of this tunnel, I would sort of, you know, I'd be able to say, well, you know what? I now see the appeal of reality TV. I understand that you get involved in the personal drama and you pick a favorite, you know. But you know what? I got to say, looking back on this, Storm notwithstanding, I still don't get reality TV and I still don't care.
Well, it's not reality. That's the problem.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. All right.
So there's no way these... Did you notice the lack of the name Supernova last night?
Totally.
Supergroup will be on tour.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and that's the other thing is whatever name recognition they... This is the most star-crossed thing. Whatever name recognition they had, gone.
All of
Go
it. It's
on,
great.
Daddy.
It's fantastic. It's going to fail. This tour is going down in a ball of flames.
It really is like a supernova. That guy said, burns bright for a minute and then implodes into darkness.
All right. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you, sir.
Bye, Rob.
Right, there you go. Rob and House of Rick. Let's get the... Oh, wait. I absolutely have to with the...
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Brendan George. Hello, how are you,
sir? Hello, Rick.
Hi, what's up, brother?
Our loathing and complete rejection of Delana was so thoroughly vindicated by her complete lack of class when she found out she'd lost.
Yeah.
And then she was asked if she had anything to say to the judges. And, you know, like, Toby was totally honorable and classy by saying, you know, thank you for this opportunity, et cetera. She had nothing like that to say to them.
I don't even remember what she says.
She said, oh, I look forward to having, you know, Gilby work on my CD, and, you know.
Yeah.
And she just tells the fans, yeah, you haven't seen the last of me, and doesn't even thank them.
No gratitude, you know, she should be deeply grateful for all the time she got.
Exactly.
And nothing. She's complete loser.
It's true. All right, thank you, sir.
Did I tell you I can't stand her?
Yes, I'm picking. We've cracked your code.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll do one more, and then we'll wrap it up. We'll break. We'll come back with Jim Roop and Scotty J's masterpiece. Brad, hello, sir.
Hey, I finally found out a bigger group of outcast people. You know, at least we knew and loved Storm, so our hours spent on the websites and everything else was somewhat...
It wasn't completely wasted,
Think of all of those people who invested time and energy on the sites who don't even know any of the people.
That's the thing, man. When I would go to the website occasionally to read up about Storm or to read about, you know, maybe some spoilers or whatever, and I would see these people who were just so heart and soul hooked on the show, and I would think, like, who are these people? And it's not just that you don't have a life. I don't have a life. You know, that doesn't explain it. I have no life, and yet it's not like I'm on their phone. It's like when you see those people who are like, I'm a huge Big Brother fan. Who is a huge Big Brother fan?
The guy who played Dungeons and Dragons about 10 years ago.
I don't even know that it's that. Really, I think I don't know, man. It's a big mystery to me. I just don't think
it's going to be in Mac. Trust me, from a guy's perspective. She's got no shot to be a Mac.
Oh, man. Have you seen that?
I can just totally see her all greased up with all of that.
Stop saying greased up.
No, I can just see her with a big pile of, like, dreadlocks
don't
on her
pile.
Head.
Pile.
I just see it. It's going to happen.
Or she'll be a Maxim.
Yeah, she'll be in the Braille
edition. Or maybe a
mutual
one with, like, her and Lucas.
Yeah, that'll make it more tolerable. But you grease him up, too.
He's prettier than she is.
Yes.
Didn't you feel great about the fact that Dilby said he was going to produce and write her CD?
Well, that's a guaranteed smash now. Yeah, no, that guarantees success.
That was almost worth having to put up with her the entire time to see her face after that.
It's a lot of
even
featuring.
She was throwing out some mental expletives.
You know,
that.
And here's the thing: it must be an indication of how much the music business screws you in that. Look, that guy, I mean, Gilby Clarke is not a rock star on the level of an Eddie Van Halen, obviously, but he played with Guns N' Roses. I saw that guy play at the Kingdom in front of 80,000 people, actually, with the same time I saw Jason Newsted. I saw Guns N' Roses and Metallica. Gilby Clarke was a member of Guns N' Roses, and he can't afford better hair than that. You know, I don't understand. That must be a lot of squandering your money on video poker somewhere for him not to be able to afford a better rug. Ugh.
And just think of the material, though. If that CD does happen, that'll be brilliant show material for you to play.
See, and that's the thing is, it'll almost be worth it, actually.
It's a gift that keeps on giving, that's for sure.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Let's see. Well, let's get a couple more here, and then we'll speak briefly to Jim Roop, see if he can grace us with his presence here. Sue, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi. I always just wanted to point out, do you remember a while back when Lucas was filmed on video film, and then they did that last night again with him?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like something they knew, like, you know, 2 months ago.
Well, I mean, we have said, but I mean, we've heard from several people, actually, that Lucas and Delana were the two that were already sort of known early on to go all the way. Yeah.
Yeah. But it seemed like he was the only one that they ever put on that high-def film.
Now, I think they did it with the other people, but Scotty J says he heard that Lucas signed a contract with Supernova a month ago.
Oh,
so,
wow. Okay.
All right.
Well, I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you, Sue.
Listen to you guys every day.
Thank you. Spread the word. All right. There you go. Final call about this. Scott, hello.
Yes, sir. Delana looks like a belt from Hot Topic.
Yeah. No, it's... we heard the word...
Feathery and spiky.
We heard the word Hot Topic used a lot in regards to her.
That's sad.
It is really true. But, I mean, I wouldn't even say it's that. I would say it's sort of like a... Not even a Value Village, but maybe one of those boxes on the corner that says free... You know?
Desiree, maybe.
Like in a bad part of town. All right, thank you, sir.
Awesome, thank you.
Bye. All right, there you go. Kristen, final thoughts?
Thank God.
Thank God, indeed.
Yeah.
All right.
It was so enjoyable watching Storm and seeing the country getting a glimpse of her.
Well, that's the thing is, you remember till last week?
Yeah.
That week that it was just chaos, where we were there and Storm sang Ladylike and Davey was there and it was just all, I mean, it was just, and then contrast that to the vibe last night.
But
where,
it, you know, it,
being
it,
awake.
It's also a little part of that thing where you're like, you have this favorite band, and you're kind of thrilled that you're the only one that knows about
them. Right.
But then when they start getting a little of attention, you're like,
damn, they're not my band anymore.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of that, but you just can't help but be happy.
You know what? But she's still coming home to here, so.
She really is.
All right. Thank you,
still
Kristen.
Still ours.
All right. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Kristen from accounting. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys.
All right. Let me just pick up the phone here real briefly. And hello, Jim Roopster.
Yes, sir. Hi.
All right. How are you, my friend?
I'm well, thank you.
Hey, I hate to... Can you hang on a second?
Yeah, sure.
A few? Many?
For you, anything.
God bless you, Jim. I don't want to let you...
Here, can we maybe call you back in a few, Jim?
You can do whatever.
So you don't
well,
have
see,
to wait.
Here's every time we do that, that works out badly, though.
Why?
Every time that we try to get a can we call you in 5 minutes? And then there's always some problem with a phone, and it's like half an hour later. We can either call you right back, or you can hang on for a couple minutes. It's up to you, brother.
I don't mind holding. I love people who sponsor your show.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, Jim, hang on. We will get right back to you in just a few minutes.
Thank you, sir.
Cool. Thank you. All right, there you go, Jim. Ladies and gentlemen,
are we hearing Scotty's Creation?
Well, how do we have time? You want to go out with that? Do
yeah,
a break,
yeah,
come back?
Will,
all right, so we'll go out with that. We'll do the break. We'll come back with Jim Roop. Ladies and gentlemen, it is labeled as such. This is labeled Scotty J. Masterpiece. This is entitled Final Delana Goodbye, Scotty J. Masterpiece on the Rick Emerson Show.
You are a phenomenal singer, a phenomenal performer. So, with that said, see you later. Let me just ask you to do this for me, okay, baby?
And I want to offer something to you that you can think about after this.
After this is done, I'm offering you my services.
And I want you to come and play with us. And I didn't offer that to anybody else.
So, with that said, see you later. And Delana, if you have me, I'd love to play on that thing too. Delana, do you have any final words to say to the guys here?
I want to say to my fans out there,
there's something screwy around here.
I was falling. And I can't get up!
Lucas, get off, bitch!
Come on, everybody.
Hey, guys! Are we forgetting something?
You bet that! I got to get entertained up in this bitch!
I thought that was sautéed in wrong sauce. I kind of want my money back.
We'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's genius.